We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I would say wings are probably my favorite football food.
Having
a Super Bowl party or a big get-together. The fellas are coming over to watch some football. Get some wings for them.
I love the entire crew.
I love the taste, obviously. And you know I'm a flats guy, which I think is something we bond over. You get me like slightly crispy, so slightly well-done flats in good sauce. We're all over it here at Mueller Industries. But if I'm at somebody else's house for a party, here's the problem. So messy, I don't want to keep going back up for more trips.
Yeah, but you're with the guys. Who cares if you get some on you?
If you're in mixed company, if it's husbands and wives and everything, you don't want to be the guy who's just constantly licking his fingers. That's why my big two, my elite duo, at a Super Bowl party, the pigs in a blanket.
Ugh, terrible pick.
And also, the deviled egg. You can just keep going back. You pop them. They're like very calorically dense potato chips. What about if somebody throws out the old soft pretzel tray?
That's like the Browns' first round taking Trent Richardson and Johnny Manziel, is what you just did.
You're going to keep cleaning your hands on Buffalo Wings. You're not going to be able to
but
tweet.
But it tastes
You're not
so
be
good.
Able to
Who
live
cares?
Bet. Taste. Okay, here's a man with you have a very narrow view. You're only looking at the next play ahead of you. You don't have a big picture sense of anything. Come on, man.
Big hour, Jeff Hathorn from Steelers headquarters to break down all these injuries and what the team might do with Ben. Could they fly him to LA Sunday morning private? I'm sure Jeff has asked around. We'll see if he can get us an answer. Arthur Motes is already in LA getting a head start. I think he's going to the Lakers game tonight. Getting a head start on this big game, and he's there. He'll join us in 15 minutes. So there's a list today that came out. Sportico's a website I had never heard of until 2 hours ago. I guess they're another one of these sports money, sports business websites.
Okay.
They got a hold of all of the head coach salaries in the NFL.
Always a juicy little tidbit.
Tomlin is fifth. He's one of five coaches who makes more than $10 million a year. $11.5 million for him. So, you know how we say sometimes, like college coaches versus pro coaches, one thing the college coaches have on the players is that they're making big money and the college guys just have a scholarship. I guess now they have the NIL, but there's a different dynamic when the coach is making the money and the players aren't.
Yeah.
Well, at $11.5 billion a year, Tomlin would be in the upper
making a lot of bread.
Percentile of even the players in that locker room. How many guys on the Steelers team make more than that? Watt, Roethlisberger?
That's it.
That's it. Right. So,
does Hayward know? No, Hayward doesn't.
So he's getting compensated, and he's in the same class as guys that have won Super Bowls and have been around for the league for a long time. This is a game on Sunday now. If it's Mason Rudolph and with Watt out and Hayden out and Minka out, like this is a game, I think, where as a coach, you really make your money. And the guys that are up there, right? The guys that are getting paid more than him. Bill Belichick, he had the Castle season.
Pete Carroll.
Look at what he's doing with Mac Jones now. The Carroll thing that I always give him credit for, and frankly, I don't think he's a great game day coach, Chris, but the one decision that I'll come back to with him that I think he does deserve a lot of praise for is that they went out and signed Matt Flynn like complete idiots after he had like one good game against the Steelers and said, you're going to be our franchise quarterback. They drafted Russell Wilson in the third round, not the first, not the second, and Carroll said, the hell with this. I'm starting him from day one.
Correct. And it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Payton, then Andy Reid.
Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Super Bowl winners more recently than Tomlin. Andy Reid.
Barely in Payton's case.
Yeah.
But again, I would at least flip those two.
I'll say the same thing with Payton that I just said about Carroll. He's the coach that said, give me Drew Brees, and I'll win with him.
I thought the thing you were going to say about him was he's the coach who said, give me Jameis Winston, I can win with him.
Well, he would have if he didn't tear.
I mean, I do think ACL. I frankly do think that this is the sort of game with the list of adversities, if you will allow me a turn of phrase here that doesn't really make sense. The list of adversities and obstacles to a win piling up. This tends to be, for me, where you see Tomlin get the best out of his guys.
I agree with that.
Back against the wall. You win a game like this, I put it on the ledger as I remember that game at the end of the season because it sort of would nullify the Lions' loss as far as if your expectation was beat the Lions, probably lose to Herbert and the Chargers in a semi-road game, then you'd flip that script a little
You know
bit.
What it reminds me of for Tomlin? If they were to win this game, it would remind me of the last time he beat an L.A. team, the Rams. Oh. They came in here. They had won the Super Bowl the year before. Thank you. Sorry about that. They scored 3 points.
Jared Goff sucks. Jared Goff, not a Super Bowl champion.
They went to the Super Bowl. They come in here. Aaron Donald's coming back to Pittsburgh. It's the Rams against Mason Rudolph, and the Steelers beat them that day.
And they had only one way that they could win that game, and it was butt ugly, and they did it.
Mm-hmm.
They just absolutely harassed Jared Goff. They did benefit from one of the most specious fumble return touchdown calls that got upheld, I think, in NFL history, probably. But they won. They had a way to take Aaron Donald semi out of the game, and they won. But yeah, it's for me, I don't know what it is either, why he does what seems like better work in these scenarios. I don't know. I can't even say it as a full positive sometimes he coaches from ahead. He coaches from a place of strength, a position of strength, too poorly. It's like you can't have these good games against when you're undermanned without having the Tomlin loss.
Richie Walsh last night, who obviously is around the Steelers a ton for Channel 2, we were on the sports call together, and he brought something up to me, and I said, I don't know if this is out there and it's common knowledge, and other people have talked about this. But he made this observation on the Steelers last week, the tie against the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't practice Wednesday. They basically had a glorified walkthrough. They did nothing because they had played Monday night.
Yep.
And he made this argument, and I thought it was a very strong one. He said, if it's any other team, if they're playing the Ravens, do they just walk through on Wednesday?
Nope.
And his point, and he thought, no. I've been around the Steelers enough where I know if they were playing a team that they really respected and thought was good, they would have gone through some version of a practice.
Well,
it might not have been super aggressive and let's knock the snot out of each other, but they would have done more than just show up, take attendance, and then send everybody home from school.
I think that's a point you raised earlier this week that we talked about. The guy who calls every opponent nameless gray faces, who refuses to say in press conferences that an opponent's strategy will or will not affect the Steelers' strategy or what they do or don't have. We've openly heard him say it's Ravens week or talk about guys who have played for him. Arthur, I think, has told us this. Ravens week's a different week, man, as far as like intensity of preparation. If they have the Patriots on the schedule.
Well, don't you think that's why they play up and down to teams?
Yeah, and I think that's probably, if I were going to highlight the biggest weakness in his approach, it is that one.
There's not consistency.
Well, I think it's because he thrives off of emotionally connecting with players. I think he's a very good defensive tactician, but I think I think by and large, he is a very good defensive tactician.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that is also he does thrive on the emotional component of an emotional
game. You know
what
else kind of ticks?
Bill Belichick's teams,
yeah,
to give a counterpoint, have this
metronome.
Hilarious, like to the point of parody, do your job mantra, and do your job occasionally, not often. When you have a subpar quarterback, gets your ass kicked because the other team's better at doing their jobs, but it is a lot less bumpy of a roller coaster, even when he had, he did last year, a 6-10 season.
I think it's a blessing and a curse for Tomlin. I think the way he coaches and what we know about the way he coaches helps him in situations like this where they're kind of in more of an underdog role. No one thinks they can win the game because of all their injuries. No one thought they could go to Buffalo and win. People didn't think they were going to beat the Browns. They win games like that. He can get his team, it seems, up for games. Unsung heroes step up left and right. They win that.
When you don't have to manufacture the idea that nobody believes in you because it's legitimate to some degree, I think
he's great at playing that card.
The absolute best at it, at probably being the guy who gets every press clipping, every audio clip he can find of somebody denigrating the team, and then he gets them up for the game.
The information on the Steelers is trickling in. No TJ Watt, no Joe Hayden, no Kevin Dotson, no Minkah Fitzpatrick. We don't know yet on Ben Roethlisberger. That's why we're bringing in Jeff Hathorn, who was over with the Steelers today. Arthur Motes also now with us, the former Steelers linebacker who is already in Los Angeles, where Steelers fans will take over the Chargers Stadium because L.A. doesn't even want the friggin' team on Sunday night. So we're very much looking forward to that aspect of things. Maybe the quarterback matchup in this game, not so much, Jeff. So you got to shed some light on it for us here. The plane's going to leave Saturday at 4 o'clock, the team plane. If Ben's not on that plane, does that mean he won't play in the game Sunday night?
No, that does not mean he will not play in the game. So there is no NFL rule that he has to be on the team plane or that he has to be at walkthroughs the night before, that he has to be at the team meal. There are team rules, but there's not an NFL rule. He absolutely could be flown in. I mean, I don't know if Arthur's gotten – has his pilot's license yet, but I'm sure he could hijack a plane, kind of like some Dwayne Johnson thing where he could grab a plane, fly to Pittsburgh, and pick up Ben.
Harrison Ford, get off my plane.
I was about to say, you know, with certain people, though, they got that private jet money, and I definitely think Ben Roethlisberger falls into that category, so he's not going to need my services this weekend.
Jeff, here's another one, and you might have this answer too. If he produces the first negative test tomorrow morning, is he allowed with only one negative test to fly with the rest of his team and then get tested again tomorrow? Or does he need two to even be around his teammates?
He needs two to be around his teammates.
Okay. So that takes that part of it out, I mean, Chris, that you've asked about.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't it then make sense, Jeff, say he tests negative tomorrow morning at like 9 or whenever? Wouldn't it make sense just on like a precautionary sense to just, hey, screw it, fly the private jet out there that day with the team, like concurrently? Because then, yes, you've maybe wasted a private jet flight if he ends up not testing negative again the next day. But if he does, you don't have to go through the travel rigmarole. That's what I would, to me, like, I know this is going to seem like a small item to some people. That's the cost of doing business if you care about winning in the NFL, where every single team is worth billions of dollars.
Although I don't think the flight would be as tough for Ben to have to make because, you know, he wouldn't be in a Cessna. He would be in
I understand, but just from a time standpoint and a jet lag standpoint and all that stuff, if you can fly him out Saturday with one negative test in his back pocket and he's on a private jet, that is, to me, showing that as a franchise, you are treating this as seriously as possible and you are doing everything you can to get him in the best possible situation if he can, in fact, play.
Right. And I mean, let's be real. I mean, would there be some fanboy that would love to have time with Ben in a plane to tell stories? And I mean, yeah, it's all doable. I mean, it's
Ben just pops on noise canceling headphones and starts watching like Sons of Anarchy reruns.
Wait, Hannah.
Now, Jeff, my thing is this, though. I do think that there is this version of Ben that plays better when there isn't the preparation, right?
Agreed.
That's the myth about him, right? So
yes.
I'm thinking to myself, I get what you're saying, Mosey, in terms of getting him out there early, but I kind of think he'll play better with even more adversity if he did have to get fluid out at the last second.
Arthur, you actually want him on a horse going into
the
stadium, don't you?
Because, like I said, that Cincinnati Bengals game in 2015, when he came out that locker room, man, it's something about when you just see him and it's like, all right, he wasn't supposed to make it today, but he's here. No different in that Browns game. I mean, we could go down the list of those times where he just comes in on that horse. And I just think this is one of those ones where everything is stacking up, right? You talk about the defensive guys not being out there, right? T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, right. Joe Hayden, we go down the list. Everything is pointing to it being an insurmountable task. But you know, Seven, those are some of the moments that he thrives in where he'll surprise you and pull a game out. And I just think that everything is making up for it to be one of those this weekend.
I love that storyline, and it's true. It is absolutely true. He loves that thought process, that script to be able to come in and be that guy, and it absolutely could happen. Yeah, I mean, they've said it all week. It's basically the same game plan, maybe a couple of plays here or there, but it's not as if Matt Canada doesn't know exactly what Ben Roethlisberger wants in a game. And yeah, I agree. And just because he's at home doesn't mean he hasn't, you know, thrown any passes even to his kids or whatever. I mean, it's not like he just could be sitting on a couch. Yeah, absolutely. That is his character in a movie. to a T.
Jeff Hathorn, who's covering the Steelers for us at 93.7thefan.com and has been around the team all week. So who do you think will be the primary backups for the big-name defensive players who won't play in this one, Jeff? Watt, Minkah, and Hayden.
So, I mean, it's going to be Tuzga and Charlton filling in there. I think, you know, for Hayden, Pierre gets the start, and I think there's a really good chance that we see Othello Witherspoon get a helmet this week, just for depth and more veteran depth in that secondary. Now, that's been the big guarded secret, is filling in for Minkah. You know, nobody's saying anything. They don't even want to comment on how Trey Norwood has played this year. But if you look at the depth chart, you look right next to Minkah Fitzpatrick, it says Trey Norwood. And I think Trey Norwood at least would be the guy to start in that position. Would they mix things around? Sure, potentially. But Norwood would be the guy to fill in.
Jeff, I don't know about you. I hear those potential replacements or likely replacements for defensive starters, and the only one I'll even go so far as to say I feel okay about or decent about, really, is James Pierre. Because I know he's been burnt a couple times this year, but I actually feel like I've seen him make some physical plays on the ball. He doesn't seem afraid when he gets challenged in games, even if it hasn't gone well to start. That's about the only guy of those players you mentioned where I feel like it could be standard is the standard.
Yeah, and I think the scary thing to me is that combines with TJ. So not having TJ means less pressure.
Yep.
Against a defense that gave up a lot of yards on the ground, against a pretty good running back, that not only could those guys be out there or less experienced guys be in that secondary, but you're talking about a young quarterback with the potential to be a star having more time to throw, and that equation does not add up well.
Now, Jeff, going back to, you know, replacing Minkah Fitzpatrick this week, do you think there's a chance we see Carl Joseph? Obviously, the Steelers have put him on their protected practice squad list, so clearly they value him for this weekend, but do you think we see him out there with the helmet and potentially a role?
Yeah, I think there's a very good chance he gets activated at 53, and I think if it's a role, you know, I think it's going to be more in a, you know, as a safety who can play in the box type of role, because that's what Joseph was known for in college. I mean, he was a good run stuffer, a hard hitter, a guy that could play that role.
Where'd he go to school?
I believe West Virginia.
Okay, yes. Continue.
And you know what? There's a pretty
My
good
wife might be listening. I
side.
Needed to make sure I did that, Jeff.
Country
hey,
roads.
Well, hey, let's we give go. Him full out. There's a pretty good linebacker on the other side from West Virginia, too. So, but I think of him more as a linebacker than a safety. Not that he's not officially a safety, but where he can really help you. Is a guy, if you're getting torched in the run and you want a little extra support, I think Carl Joseph is an option.
Well, if you look at him as a linebacker, Jeff, I'm not going to comment on his play no matter what he does in this game if he plays, because I don't really know his pre-snap assignments. So at that point, it is very unfair to talk about a linebacker if you don't know the exact play call and what
and
he was supposed to do.
Just to be clear on that, Jeff, that also works the other way. So even if a guy plays great and it looks like he had a four-sack game and played outstanding,
you didn't know
we
his
don't
assignment.
Actually know what T.J. Watt, if he yeah. were to play, what
is,
his assignment
is. Is he a freelancing
were.
Glory so we, boy?
Exactly.
Right? Come on.
Y'all are wow.
Yes,
oh,
we are.
That was epic.
Jeff, before you depart, by the way, are you doing Pitt Towson tonight? Do you have the TV
I,
call of that?
I am not. Oh. I have a night off. It's date night tonight.
Let's go, Jeff.
Hello.
Jeff too big to be wasting a Friday on a CAA team.
Every day is
too big for that. Come on now.
Throw out the records when Pitt and Towson get together.
Yeah, enjoy yourself.
Before we let you run, Jeff, give us a prediction. I asked Doran this. Give us some kind of bold out there prediction on what you think will happen in this game. Not like a score. Give us something kind of off the beat.
Pitt, Virginia or Pitt, Towson?
No, I want it for the Steelers game on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Bold prediction.
Yep.
I think a bold prediction is Chase Claypool will be back and get 100 yards receiving.
Ooh. That constitutes as very bold.
That is bold. That's
all right, Jeff, bold. We'll check you out, 93.7thefan.com. A date night in or a date night out?
Out.
Hey.
See you, Jeff.
See you, guys.
I think if someone sees Jeff out, they pick up the bottle of wine and send it over to the table.
Oh, have to. That's mandatory.
What a power move that would be.
If although, there's a Pitt fan out there.
Although I think Jeff's a Miller Lite man.
If there's a Pitt fan out there that's enjoyed Jeff on the Pitt games this year.
And you see him out.
Yep.
And you say to yourself, how can I show this man I appreciate him? Yeah, I think you get the bottle uncorked right in front of them. You send it over the full compliments.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown. At 5 o'clock, we'll ask the question about the Steelers game on Sunday and if the prediction will be based on who's at quarterback for the Steelers. Your confidence level in this game, is it dependent on Rudolph versus Ben and how all these injuries factor in now that we've got some clarity on all that? We're going to talk about the Steelers' injuries, Ben Roethlisberger's availability or lack thereof. If Rudolph starts, how does Arthur Motes feel about the Steelers' chances of winning the game? He's already in L.A. We had Cale Berger in here from the Pitt Radio Network and asked him to double down on his claim that Brennan Armstrong, the Virginia quarterback, will not play tomorrow against Pitt, and he completely wussed out on us. And I was going to have him on the air to say, yes, he's not going to play, Pitt's in good shape, but he refused to do it because he's got a hot date.
That's why he left.
Huh. He didn't want me to interrogate him on the air, look bad, and then for the date to think less of him, which
I think actually was
a very good move by him.
Here's the thought, though. If the date is definitively listening to our show, do we think that's
a huge aphrodisiac and turn on, yes. If he shows up and sits down and she goes, oh, wow, there's some kind of remark that gets made, he sits down. She's like, wow, you're nicely dressed. And he goes, well, yes, my Uncle Dan actually picked out this outfit. And she goes,
why are you carrying isotoner gloves?
And
it's not that cold.
Congratulations on all your success. Wow. That's love at first sight.
What if she said to him, hey, like whatever, thrilled we're out, and she said, can you just say one more thing before we part ways for the night? I had a great first date. I'd love to call, you know, see you again. And she says, could you just say that this date happened at the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio in a certain gravelly voice?
Scott Farrell voice.
Just had a little Scott Farrell in there. Then Kale would be in. That would be it. He'd
Arthur,
be married.
It's senior day for Pitt on Saturday. What was your senior day like at JMU?
Man, my senior day was a blast. Not only did I have my folks there, which was a blessing, but we kicked the heck out of Towson, and I scored a touchdown that game, man. So, you know, it was one of those moves. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Were there Arthur Motes and Motes family tears before the game? Was there an emotional? All business?
Not to sound arrogant, but we weren't thinking that was my last game. We were thinking like, hey, man, we about to be doing this on Sundays. So that was kind of like the whole mentality. Mm. Yeah.
So you knew at that point you had a pretty good feeling that you were going to get drafted by the end of your last year there?
I did, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it was more so just didn't know what round, but we knew based on the year that I had, based on the NFL attention I had got after my junior season and stuff, that it was something was going to happen. So, yeah.
How'd you score the tutty?
Oh, man. Scoop and score. Yeah. I forgot how they fumbled the snap or something like that. But, yeah, I pick it up. Took that thing, 74 yards, baby? Show a little speed.
Oxygen tank speed afterwards?
Yeah, did you do the collapse to the ground?
In fact, my coaches at JMU were like sticklers on if I made a big play, I wasn't allowed to like sit out the next series. So it was like a couple deep breaths, kick off, and we right back out there.
Nice.
So wait, did your coaches also not, though, train you to fall on the ball? Piggies on the ground.
Not an athlete like Arthur.
No, remember, I already told you. Everything that you see on TV, it's worked on since high school. City, country. If the ball's in a crowd, that's city. You fall on it. If you got room, that's country. You pick it up and be an athlete.
Nice.
So you know
now,
which
what
one
if you're in the what if you're in the suburbs and you can't really tell the difference here? You're kind of in between.
You got to know what type of athlete you are or what you're not.
Well said.
Because you got to think like. Well,
I think I think the problem here is way too often guys who are clearly not that type of athlete behave in that situation like they think that they in fact are.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.